Hey there, ho there, you're listening to Super Tool Shed, the only podcast where rationality is a four-letter word, because we can't spell. I'm Bennett the Sage, I'm joined by Mark the Engineer, and today we're discussing big news in the city of Gotham. There's a new Batman in town, and he was bombing Phantoms, yo. But before that, the pleasantries. Mark, how have your few weeks been?
I gotta stop letting you open this show. It was brought to my attention that I've been podcasting for a good long time, and I've never really thought too much of that in terms of a weight or gravity, but now I realize that almost 10 years of podcasting means that I don't open the show by saying things like, he was the bomb in Phantoms, yo! Alright.
I knew you'd like that little touch. I knew it. That's why I put it in.
God damn. Alright, so what's been going on? Went to Otakon, came, went, saw people, who cares? Tomorrow I'm going to PsychoCon, which is near here in the Philadelphia area, but not actually in the Philadelphia area. It's more in the Allentown area. But I'm a guest there, and that's awesome. An actual announced guest with my picture and everything, so that's special. Hold on for a sec.
Excuse that for a moment. I'm thinking we're going to cut this out in the recording.
Yeah, I just had to make Miles' little girlfriend go away. And one of these days, she's going to be in a burning bucket. Not kidding. Alright, so, that little interruption aside. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a big deal for me. It's the first convention that I'm legit a guest at since I did the Big Ball broadcast so long ago, at which point it was kind of like the courtesy guest pass, like, here you go, you're with Mr. Abear, so you can have a guest badge too. We know that he's your friend. It's like I actually engineer the show. That's cool. Like that's nice, Mr. What is it you said your name was again? Mr. Mechanic? Mr. Nurse Technician, I'm the engineer, god damn it.
Well, it's better than being like Kyle Hebert's personal handmaster or something like that, like you're at his house.
I'm his personal ball washer.
Yeah, you know, like you're his Sam Jackson to his Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh god. Jesus. I'm really stoked for that. This episode's going up tonight, and then I'll be there from tomorrow morning until Sunday night, I'm assuming. It's only an hour and a half away by car, and I love driving my car, so that's how it's gonna roll.
And by the time you listen to this episode, it'll probably be late Friday night or early Saturday morning, whichever it's going to be. So there might not be a lot of time to announce this, but the next episode of Anime Abandoned should be premiering at your panel that you're hosting, isn't it?
That's what we're hoping for, because it's me and Bill Rogers and Greg Hauser, and we're going to do the ADR booth camp, the audition part of it anyway, because normally that would be a 3-day long panel. And they slated us in the middle of the night, which works for me because I'm not safe before 10 o'clock. So, I mean, look at the show that I help write. my 25%. So.
Let's 15. All right, when you see the episode that I'm talking about, guess how much that Mark is responsible for the next episode of Anime. Just ballpark it.
All right, look, I'll take my 15% and not laugh raucously at that, but you remember who owns you during the next month, all right?
I know.
All right? Who?
I know!
Who owns who during the next month? Oh, yeah, that's me, buddy. Because it's not even a secret. Next month, Adult Swim month. Fuck it, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
First thing I want to talk about is your costume for next month.
I tweeted the picture of me in my old Taku shirt that I had made, especially for Adult Swim Month. And I am quite proud of it, and I am glad that William Street has not filed a C&D.
Yeah, old Taku is something I came up with a while ago while on a mad Twitter tirade, and we've just been kind of batting it back and forth ever since, just because it's like, that's a good word. Old Taku and Neo Taku, guess which we are. So when you're talking about like old school Toonami fans and old school Adult Swim fans, when you're talking about Adult Swim action circa 2002, you're talking to old Taku. So I'm actually really, because we whipped that up, we whipped up the PSD for that to get printed in like 5 minutes.
Because all the biggest problem of that was figuring out what the font was.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was just type it out and bamf. Find a t-shirt printer in my local area, and yeah, we have magic.
And the funny thing is that when I installed that font, it hijacked fucking everything.
I know. I hate this font so much.
That's why I uninstalled it.
How do you do that? Fuck it, like, the show is over.
You just click on it and delete it. That's it. That's how you get rid of it. Because here's the thing. Lots and lots of websites are looking for median fonts in terms of, they don't just say the font set, like on BendTheSage.com, it says that the font absolutely has to be Verdana no matter what. Now, it's the browser on the individual's computer's job to figure out, you know, what the equivalent of Verdana is going to be if Verdana doesn't exist. Okay, fine. And usually it's going to come up with like Times New Roman or something like that. And the reason why I do that is because I just kind of want solidarity of font. And sometimes that means that I'm going to have a web launched font, but I'm not going to web launch fucking Verdana because who the hell cares? That said, most people who are developing, they'll say font family, and then it'll say Arial, Verdana, Sans Serif, Serif, Times New Roman, whatever. And what that also, and the other thing that always comes up a lot in this font family tag is Helvetica. The problem is that Helvetica gets such a ridiculous fucking priority that when we installed Helvetica Bold, it just hijacked everything.
Goddamn Max.
So just fucking, just shit on Steve Jobs' grave. Swear to God. So
Miles sounds like he agrees with us.
Yeah, you know, he'll agree with anything right now. Hold tight. Just hold tight.
Take this as a lesson, kids. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Thanks, Mr. Barker. All right, we're back on track until, at the very least, my cat starts crying profusely. Like that. There's nothing I can do about it, okay? Like, here's my thing as an animal lover. Like, I know that there are certain surgeries that your animal needs to get in order for them to live a long and happy life. You know, certain animals' tails need to get cut off or else it's going to become cancerous. You have to worry about things like hip dysplasia, but mostly cancer. So that said, you know, when I rescued this little kitten who was no bigger than like a hamster when I found him, he wandered away from his litter. It was like November. It was going to be freezing fucking rain in like 2 minutes before I found him. I brought him in the house and I had decided at that point, okay, I want him to live a natural life. And that means that, you know, like, yes, he's going to go to the vet, but I'm not going to cut his fucking balls off. And maybe that's like, because some people will argue that, like, well, you're a man. You like, as a man with testicles, you wouldn't want to cut any other testicles off anywhere in the world. But, you know, it's kind of like, I just wanted him to live a natural, happy life, because I kind of believe in the Bill Maher statement that house cats are sad creatures because, you know, there's a whole world outside and they'll never see it. So why compound that misery? You know, like, you're trading safety, you know, like safety and security of food and shelter for misery of, like, they'll never go outside. So why compound that misery by cutting its fucking balls off?
You know? But then again, it's not like Miles is an alley cat looking for any tail he can find. He doesn't even like other cats, if I remember right.
He's never even seen another cat. He doesn't like other dudes. That's what he doesn't like. Because Bill was here the other day. He was at this film festival, and he had swung by, and he had never really interacted with the cat all that much. And Miles fucked up his shit. like, jumped him, like, stalked him for, like, what had to have been an hour, and then just out of nowhere jumped him. And I just kind of went, and then I got the Neosporin, so. But anyway, Adult Swim Month.
Adult Swim Month, enough of that fucking arts cat.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brad could get away with Lloyd interrupting his videos, why can't Miles interrupt the fucking podcast? What?
Right. God, I feel so bad. Anyway, yeah, Adult Swim month. So we're gearing up for a 3-episode month in which two series per episode will be covered, in which the first two will be revealed in the new episode of Anime Abandon, because we haven't explicitly said as to what Adult Swim month is actually going to contain. So place your bets, kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not
going to be what you think. We can already throw the biggest fucking name you're going to throw out there right now. We're not doing Gundam this month.
Gundam deserves its own entire month, and that is... All right, it's sort of like the Ark of the Covenant. Once you open it, you can't close it again, so you got to prepare for the ghosts.
Yeah, so, but in exchange, here's the promise we will make next year. For next year. This is our New Year's resolution for 2014. We will do Gundam in 2014. It's going to happen. We promise.
Preferably after Macross.
After Macross.
Yes.
Wait, do you really think we should do it after Macross? It's because it'll be like just giant robot quarter. How fucked up would that be if we just did giant robot quarter?
I mean, it's feasible, but I don't think that's... You know, people are going to get so tired of that so fast. The reason why I wanted to say after that, because March is just immediately in the new year. So, like, probably... I'm not saying this is in stone or anything, but I'm thinking, like, summer.
Yeah, because we haven't even worked up the schedule yet for next year. Because we still got to get through this year.
Yeah!
And we're almost there. We're so fucking close to Q4.
Oh
my god! Fucking October.
No, I'm actually dreading November, really.
I'm dreading fucking October. I don't know about you. Like, we can't say anything. Like, that's what's killing me. Is that we can tell everybody who's involved. We can tell other, like, new media producers that we know. We can, like, fucking, like, Lachlan knows. And you can't shake him down because he's a billion miles away. And he's Australian, so he just resists torture by drinking. But, yeah, like, I want to be able to tell you what happens in October and what happens at the end of the year. Because it's going to be so hilariously, stupidly awesome to us. That's the asterisk there. It's going to be hilariously, stupidly, wickedly awesome to us.
Whether you share in this viewpoint or not is up to you.
And if you don't like it, then feel free to start your own fucking anime review show with blackjack and hookers.
And if I can just say for one moment here that as far as Adult Swim Month is concerned, there's 5 total shows that are going to be covered during Adult Swim Month. And I will tell you right now, don't count anything 2004 and beyond. So I've been seeing requests for, like, Full Metal Alchemist. No.
No.
No, not Full Metal Alchemist. And I can tell you what's not going to be on there. Although I wish I could, but I feel like this particular anime should deserve its own segment, not just, like, a part of a month, theme month. Fooly Cooly is not going to be covered in Adult Swim month.
And neither is Inuyasha. So there's 2 more that we just knocked right off the list.
Yes. And fuck Inuyasha.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Oh, yeah. Come on. Say it.
Fuck Inuyasha.
There it is. That's my boy.
I don't find myself this vile hatred for any one thing in my life. I'm not that kind of guy who gets really fucking angry at something, except for Inuyasha. Inuyasha is to anime what KFC is to chicken.
You know,
I hate it.
Some people would argue that KFC has been very good for chicken.
Well, I'm saying, like, what do they do to chickens? They butcher it! They kill it! They kill chickens right in front of their children!
Is this the part where you start screaming at the deer?
It's like, you stupid faggot cut your anime! You broke my windshield!
Oh, God.
I'm guessing you're going to bleep that.
Yeah, I think I will for the sake of, like, even though I'm perfectly okay with it as your friend, other people are going to try and be offended for me. So, and I hate that. All right, so let's roll the barrel. Just let me throw a barrel at it. Name that show, kids. So the big news that's been blasting ass all over everywhere that you see is that for the movie that Bennett and I are going to call The World's Finest, because that's a much better fucking name than Man of Steel 2, unless they call it Man of Steel 2 World's Finest, Ben Affleck has been cast as Batman. Now, before we get started, everybody, we're going to say some things. First off, me personally, I'm not mad about Affleck being Batman. But we're going to talk about it anyway, because we're really just going to be channeling the nerd rage, because that's just what we keep reading. And everybody's the counter argument here has been Heath Ledger.
And that is a straw man's argument if I've ever heard it.
It's a counter argument if there ever was one. But this is Ben Affleck we're talking about, and I can't remember who it was that said it on Twitter, but after all the goodwill you build up with The Town and Argo, why would you go back to being a dipshit in tights? All right, so the news is Ben Affleck is Batman. He's Batman for what we're calling The World's Finest, and quite honestly, who the fuck would you get to be Batman?
If not Christian Bale. I mean,
fuck Christian Bale.
Like, even like, all right. Just Christian Bale out of the equation, he's done with it. He's fucking done with it, and let's face it, if he was to return, that would bring up so many questions about the Nolanverse continuity that I think are better left to just out of the dust. You know what I mean? This is like, we don't need, like, the Dark Knight trilogy to spill into this. It should be its own entity.
So my question is, because everybody's got an answer, but most of them are bad. You know, like, there are people who are like, why not Keaton? Because Keaton's geriatric, and even though he's still all the actor he's ever been, unless we're doing fucking Dark Knight Returns.
Unless we're Frank Millering this bitch, no.
No, that's not going to do it. Especially since Keaton has always been and will always be a small guy. So he definitely can't be that huge fucking hulking monster that is Frank Miller's Batman.
Kind of looks like Hulk stuffed into a cheap Batman costume.
Yeah, so if not Bale, because clearly not Bale, and most certainly not Keaton, because Keaton just can't do it anymore. He can go and try and make another Beetlejuice if he wants.
Beetlejuice goes Hawaiian.
So that being said, I mean, I've seen some answers, and most of them are bad. Who was the dude from The Losers?
Wait a minute. Wasn't that Chris Evans?
No, not Chris Evans. The guy who was the leader.
Oh, name is slipping my mind too.
One second.
Oh, dude. So does that mean I got to fill in airtime too?
No, it doesn't. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Mm-hmm. I've seen Jeffrey Dean Morgan's name thrown around. I've seen some names. I've seen like half of the fucking cast of Deadwood just thrown around. Like, why don't you get Timothy Oliphant to be Batman? And for a second I went, yeah, why not Timothy Oliphant? Why can't Elephantastic be Batman?
All right, one word, Hitman.
He wasn't bad in Hitman.
Hitman
was bad, and that wasn't his fault.
Well, in as much that Ben Affleck wasn't Daredevil's main problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
But
it doesn't matter if it wasn't Ben Affleck who was the reason that Daredevil sucked. He's still the face of the fucking movie, and all the problems are going to be latched onto him. Anyone who's seen Hitman just thinks of all the Fantastic and think, oh, God, that movie sucked.
And then the one thing that I feel simultaneously good and bad about is somebody had said on Twitter again in my feed. Why don't we just switch it up and make it Idris Elba? Be fucking cause. That's why. No other reason needs to exist. Would I like to see Idris Elba in the bat suit? Sure, I fucking would.
You know what I'd like to see Idris Elba be? Black Panther.
I would dig that too. But unless you're doing like Batman Incorporated, that shit's just not going to work, is it?
Oh. And also, for the people who are just like, why not Joseph Gordon-Levitt? It's like, because he's not Bruce Wayne. We've established that in the Nolanverse.
And even if we're throwing away the Nolanverse, it's still that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is too goddamn small. He's too small. It seriously is Battle for the Cowl time again. It was like, yes, let's get Joseph Gordon-Levitt so that way he can be Dick Grayson in the bat suit. Why not? Mm-hmm. No, so the thing is that Affleck is a big slab of meat with a strong jaw. What was the first thing people complained about in Dread? Well, Carl Urban's jaw is too small. Everybody's jaw is smaller than Stallone's. Of course his jaw is too small.
The only man who could pull off a jaw like that was Mickey Rourke, and he had to have prosthetics for Marv.
Uh-huh. So, and if someone says fucking Mickey Rourke, again, I say Dark Knight Returns.
You know, if we're making a Dark Knight Returns movie, then yeah, we get Mickey Rourke.
Because he's got the voice, he's got the build, he's got the intensity. He'd be, like, I'd be totally on board with him doing that thing where it's like, this will be a good death. You know, like that, that'd be good.
But not good enough.
Yeah. Formula One cars, they all look like electric shavers. and they do. But yeah, like Affleck's a big slab of meat with a strong jaw, and the only thing that kind of gets against him, which I think that honestly anybody looks menacing in the bat suit so long as they've got a jaw strong enough to hold up the cowl. That's my opinion. Yeah. And he's Affleck is really, really babyface, right? Mm-hmm. So that means that when he's like
Bruce Wayne,
he'll look like a playboy, which is cool. The only thing is, and I thought about this yesterday, Christian Bale's hair was dark brown, but Bruce Wayne's hair is supposed to be black. And none of us really paid attention to that, did we?
No, because every other actor who's ever played Batman in the major movies, let's face it, like, Keaton, curly brown hair.
Yep.
Val Kilmer, dirty blonde hair.
Clooney, Salt and Pepper.
So, like, nobody's ever had a black-haired Batman before.
I'm wondering if they would actually go, because, you know, like, you can tell that Snyder is really, like, he's a very visual director. He's really into the look of stuff. So, because you could tell that from, like, see, here's my praise. The Superman suit in Man of Steel looked really fucking good. It looked better than fucking Singer's did.
Like, and I'll give this movie credit. Like, when you could see what's going on, it was very... In Man of Steel, it was glorious to behold.
So
when you could see what was going on.
Yeah, out of that ridiculous fucking maelstrom. But very visual director, into the look of things. Ben Affleck with black hair, and
I don't know, that kind of brings to mind, you know, Geely. It does, doesn't it? Like when you think of Geely, it's like, yeah, he was a Guido in that.
Oh.
Not that I have anything against the Italian community or anything.
Just keep digging, Benny.
I'm just saying, you know, like, after that tirade that I went on, I should probably include everyone in the hatred. I'm not singling anyone out. I hate everybody.
Right. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Rock. But yeah, I'm from my perspective is that I've always had this, you know, theory about Batman in movies, where Michael Keaton to me is the best Batman, and it's not for nostalgic reasons, because I didn't grow up thinking like, oh my god, Batman, you know, in fucking 1989 I was fucking shitting diapers, so of course that doesn't mean nearly as much to me as it's going to mean to somebody, you know, one of my older friends who actually were in the theater when that shit happened. So, but I maintain that he was the best Batman because he didn't look anything like Bruce Wayne. He looked like shit in the bat suit. but he was just such a phenomenal talent that he just made you believe. And that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about the suspension of disbelief. And ever since Keaton, it's always been a half-some situation. So Clooney looked good as Bruce Wayne, looked terrible as Batman. Val Kilmer looked good in the bat suit. He was way too fucking clean-cut and pretty to be Bruce Wayne. And Bale is the nearest thing we got to a happy middle ground, but still not as good as Keaton, because Bale managed to ruin his own performance by doing things like, tell me where the drugs are! You know, like, that's... That was just annoying, and it really threw you straight the fuck out. And especially since you listened to that voice taper off from movie to movie to movie, where it's like, okay, so you recognize that it was a bad idea, you can't let it go now, but you're trying to subtly make it go away and failing at it. Gotcha. And that was my first and only comment about Affleck as Batman, is I don't care about Affleck being Batman. He can be Batman, but he needs to get on Vine right now, and we all need to be able to hear and vote on his Batman voice.
Because we don't need another frog-throated performance. That's Bale's territory.
Yeah, and the thing is that, I mean, Affleck has done, like, snide and evil before, but not like this.
I know I'm going to see the movie, right? And I know that when Ben Affleck is on screen, I'm just going to think of his performance in Chasing Amy. I can't not think of it. So, like, whenever, like, he's going to... I know there's going to be a moment in the movie where he's just going to have this one, like, emotional breakdown about, like, what happened to him. And he's just going to channel what his conversation to his girlfriend and Chasing Amy. I'll always love you. And I will never. Because the thing about Ben Affleck, he always has this kind of, like... I don't want to call it effeminate, but he has, like, this sort of... kind of tone to his voice, and that's fine for Bruce Wayne, but I just don't know how that's going to work when he's in the cowl.
Yeah, and that's going to be the interesting play, I think, is watching that unfold on screen. I'm sure that he is just, first off, he's probably sitting in a corner crying right now while fucking Smith is just patting him on the shoulder going, it's okay.
I heard recently that Kevin Smith hasn't seen Ben Affleck in a few years. probably been busy, but now that Kevin Smith just hears this news, I'm pretty sure that all right, 10 will get you 20, he'll wind up on Fat Man on Batman. 10 will get you 20, he'll be on there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what goes down in the next year and a half or so. What's your opinion? I mean, when you digging into, you know, how you felt when you first read it, and like I called you and it was like what the fuck just happened?
Well, first off, it's kind of disbelief. Not out of like, really? Like, I just never would have picked Ben Affleck in a million years. And I guess that's my only real opinion about it. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen. So, like, all the speculation and all this wild accusations, like, this movie's already going to suck. And I think after Man of Steel, everyone who didn't like that movie now just has more reason to not like this movie. Even before the first shot is made, you know? Like, not even storyboarding. This is a time right now where everyone just wants to find the worst movie ever made. Like, think about, like, all summer long. All summer long, we've seen pretty bad movies. Bad movies in and of its own right. But everyone, and I mean everyone, is just launching into this overblown spiel about how this is worse than Baby AIDS, and, like, the people who made this movie need to be found and dragged out into the town square, then drawn and quartered, and then have their names tattooed on the surface of the moon so that the world may remember what they did and how they cursed their names, and that all the family that surrounds them needs to be rounded up to and then gassed. You know, that's what I got from most of the people.
Allied a good nightmare to you. sorry.
It's just, everyone wants to, like, everyone is so beside themselves trying to figure out what was, like, the worst movie of the era. I mean, like, when you have movies that came out, like The Lone Ranger and Man of Steel, I mean, I've seen Man of Steel. Not a great movie. Not even a good movie, but just sort of fair to middling. I wouldn't call it bad. It was just, you know, you go in there for a summer blockbuster, you get it. Then everyone's just like this avalanche of just like, fuck this movie. It's like, really? Really, guys? You're saying fuck this movie with that amount of intensity and that amount of volume to Man of Steel? I mean, have you ever seen any other movie in your entire life?
And I'll admit it. When I saw the title, when they did the Batman Superman logo, I got the fizz. For 1 second, I got the fizz. But I do think that we kind of all need to hang back. It's not going to be Transformers every time. You know, sometimes the second movie is going to be better than the first movie. Like, Spider-Man 2 was a whole shit ton better than Spider-Man 1.
I don't know. Like, Spider-Man 2 is not...
That's because you have a deteriorating view of the Spider-Man trilogy, which you have gone on record as saying. I'm talking about the general opinion is that Spider-Man 2 was better than Spider-Man 1, not based on your deteriorating, I don't know what the fuck happened, view of the whole thing. So, you know, sometimes the sequel's going to be better because you learn your mistakes and you just hammer them out until you get a much smoother product in the next pass, which is fine. You know, Man of Steel 2 is probably going to be a whole shit ton better in terms of fucking storytelling.
At least because we got the origin out of the way.
Yeah, which really hamstrings any movie in the first half hour is getting all that origin shit straight out of the way. Like, I'll even go so far as to say that maybe The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is going to be good, even though I really fucking hated it. Hated the original. Like, I did not dig on it at all. Because spider powers do not allow you to instantaneously do parkour. Spider's Edge, you know? Like, fuck you. So, you know, like, I'm actually genuinely kind of not excited, but I'm hopeful for the next Spider-Man movie. I would be so hopeful for the next Avengers, even though, you know, like, even when you look at everything that was wrong with the Avengers, it's still the type of movie where even, like, my thing lately has been a good movie is measured by how many steps you can take out of the theater before you start punching holes in it. And The Avengers got so many holes punched in it that it just comes out looking like Swiss cheese. But you still feel so good about it, you know?
Yeah, you do, but I'll say this. I've seen Avengers like 5 times. Not really on purpose. More like, I saw it for the first time. Saw it for the second time because I had a friend in town who'd never seen it. And I was like, okay, well, I'll see it again. And the third time, I was flying to England, so I was like, fuck it, that's 2 hours wasted. It's like 2 hours that I don't need to, I could watch fly by. And every time I see it, it just, not only does it get worse for me, it's just, I begin to question why I really liked the first time, you know what I mean?
And sometimes movies will just do that. They'll just start to hit their expiration date. But sometimes, you know, like some movies just end up being timeless and, you know, contrary to popular opinion. So for me, for instance, like, I still love Tank Girl to this day. Yes, I know you can see the fucking wires in the bullshit assault scene. You can see the fucking harness on Ice-T and shit. I don't care. I don't fucking care. Like, I still like that movie. I still like the original fucking Street Fighter movie.
Never thought I'd hear the day that somebody said that. I mean, outside of the Raul Julia performance?
That's just it, though. Raul Julia, like, I don't, like, fuck you if you're one of those people that's like, it's the movie that killed Raul Julia. Fuck you, Running Man. That performance was just Shakespearean fucking background chewing awesome. You know, it's merely superconductive electromagnetism. You're like, that's fucking amazing.
And that's why I loved, I'll say this about A Man of Steel. If, God, I'm blanking on his name. If Michael Shannon wasn't in the film.
I knew that was who you were talking about before you even went on your thought. Continue.
Yeah, I know, like if Michael Shannon was not cast as Zod and it was anyone else and they played it more subdued than Michael Shannon did, I probably wouldn't like the movie as much as I did. But Michael Shannon was in it and he delivered probably the line of the movie in a way that nobody else could. I will find him!
Yeah, in a way that honestly, like I've seen, like there are Muppets that have better performances than that fucking line delivery.
But he sells it with such, like, he was trying to, like, be Raul Julia in that movie. It's just, he knows what he's saying is kind of, you know, just
very,
very,
like, of course, you know.
Yeah, very, of course. And he put his own spin on that. And that was, he obviously had so much fun in that movie. I mean, any more than, like, Henry Cavill as Superman. And that fun just rubbed off on me.
Which, you know, honestly, if we wanted to get, you know, scenery chewers named Michael, we could have just gotten Michael Sheen.
Yeah, but like, he's not going to get any better than he was in Arrow. can I tell you, when I saw that movie in theaters, that moment happened. I was in a theater. Like a literal auditorium of like teenage girls and like the beleaguered boyfriends that they dragged along with them. That happened. Raucous laughter. We're talking wall to wall. Can't even hear the movie anymore. Laughter. It was, people were howling. It was like if you were in a black movie theater and you're watching Big Mama's House, that kind of whooping and hollering.
Wow, you're just making all the friends today.
I'm just saying that, like, if I was in that, I was in that situation. Like, you remember when Barbershop came out?
Yeah, I remember.
And I saw it in theaters with my dad. We were the only white people in that theater.
You know what? I have raffle stomped enough people in black theaters to know exactly that it's... Like, we're not saying shit that's not true, but we're also not creating a blanketing statement. It's just sometimes there are motherfuckers in a theater that happen to be brown that won't shut the fuck up. so, that being the case. What were we talking about?
we were talking about scenery chewers.
Oh, yeah, scenery. Yeah,
you talked about Michael Sheen.
So, yeah, I mean, it's to say that Man of Steel 2 is going to... It's going to be an assessment of everything that could have possibly went wrong in Man of Steel from, you know, varying perspectives. Because I'm sure that Snyder just went, oh, yeah, this was perfectly fine. It's like, you know, you got to tell a proper story and maybe you shouldn't make Superman Jesus.
And maybe you should realize that Superman isn't Batman.
Yeah, there's that too.
But, you know, that one moment where Pa Kent is sucked in the tornado, best part of the movie.
Fucking see, when that part happened, I was just like, you never seen it miss this house and miss that house and go after you.
I know.
Like, all it needed was a noise, you know, like that's all that scene needed.
But knowing that that could not happen in real life, and you know that.
Because you want to know what? I will fucking hats off to Doug Walker for this. I thought I was the only person on Earth that thought that was stupid when I was a kid. Big ass F5 tornado, it roars. And I was really into tornadoes at the time in school. And I was, you know, like constantly doing science projects and the fucking thing with the 2 2-liter bottles. And, and I'm watching this movie. I'm just like excited as shit. And then the roar happened, and tornadoes don't. I mean, they make noise.
But they don't roar.
They don't. I mean, unless it like goes over a zoo.
Then it becomes a Sharknado. It's like if Paul Kent got sucked up into the Sharknado. No, you must not save me from the Sharknado, Superman.
Oh, this is the worst twister we've ever seen. It went over SeaWorld, and now it's a Sharknado.
Oh,
I'm telling you, man, for every single person in Florida, Sharknado is a documentary.
And maybe about half of Texas. At least, one, at least near the Gulf Coast.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, you may have, like, that scene may have made the movie for you, but for me, it was just like, oh, fucking shit. So, honestly, because there are more things to be angry about than Ben Affleck being cast as Batman, because everybody's paying attention to the casting. And even with Snyder being a trustworthy visual director, we don't know what the Batmobile is going to look like. We don't know if it's going to be a sports car or a tank. We don't know what the Batsuit's going to look like. We don't know if it's going to be that same style of a Nomex survival suit where a soldier's life isn't worth 200 grand, or if it's going to be something simpler.
Or we don't even know who the villains are going to be. I mean, we hear is speculation that they want to get...
It's going to be fucking Lex. If Snyder goes so far as to incorporate Batman with no origin story, then he's probably just going to lift fucking DCAU World's Finest, where it's like the Joker and Lex team up, because if Snyder is any sort of storyteller, he'll recognize one, the biggest complaint being, we all know where the fucking Man of Steel came from, okay? Last one is ripped on all that shit. So if he's heard that complaint, then he's probably making the assumption with Warner Brothers okay, saying that, well, everybody knows where Batman came from. We just came off of a fucking trilogy. And really, you know, the details may change, but the basics are always the same. So if that's the case, then you assume that, well, that Snyder's going to assume and that Warner Brothers is going to assume. Let's just all assume that we know where Batman came from, who the Joker is, who Lex Luthor is. And he probably would just lift that whole fucking story. But might just go so far as to just be a story about Lex.
Yeah.
Because that's what the whole, you know, Batman, Superman versus Lex thing has always kind of been about is, you know, Lex is is a kingpin, but he's also the guy that owns every single inch of Metropolis. So Supes can't stop him. He can't stop the businessman. He can only stop the kingpin. And him as a kingpin only works by proxy, but Batman doesn't work inside of the rules. So Bats rolls into town, this vigilante that's like, have you heard about the Batman? You know, because they're probably going to go with that too, where, you know, like Batman isn't an icon, he's a rumor.
Mm.
And then Batman just blows the fuck into town, deranged vigilante.
Deranged vigilante, because there's no way in this day and age that they're trying to do the Joker Lex Luthor team up. You're just going to bring up Heath Ledger's ghost.
But that's something. I don't really think that the door should be closed on the Joker.
And then again, like, who would Lex Luthor team up that would necessitate Batman's presence?
Exactly.
In
like, who the fuck's it going to be? The Penguin? Mr. Freeze? None of that shit makes sense. Well, the Penguin, maybe.
Riddler, definitely.
But that would be more of a dueling of the minds kind of thing. Like, the Riddler thinks that he can stop Lex's problem more effectively than Lex can stop his. Which, actually, that would be a really interesting thing. Like, the sort of, you know, game of death strangers on a train thing.
That is a neat angle. And you hear us, Warner Brothers, put in the Riddler and have him be, like Adrian Brody.
I would take Adrian Brody as the Riddler.
Adrian Brody as the Riddler. There. Done. Make that movie. Somebody write me a goddamn check.
Yeah, but you're also pro-Riddler. You've been punching for the Riddler since day one.
I am. I love the Riddler as a villain. I just love the idea of someone who is so intelligent, but he feels like he's being dragged down by everyone.
Mm.
And I like this idea of like someone who knows how intelligent he is, but like everything that he does just becomes like fodder for some other to steal from. Like that one moment where he's working for God, like in Batman the Animated Series, when I forgot who he was working for, but like when he was making all these inventions and making all these patents, and then his boss basically says, if you're so smart, how come you're not rich? And there was that one singular moment where he realized he has all this talent, but people just keep sucking it away from him, sucking his talents and using it for their own selfish gain.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, some of those early Riddler episodes, they taught you some of the most common answers to riddles ever, but, you know, every once in a while somebody hits you, you know. What's the shortest distance between two points on a globe? And then you're like, someone who hasn't seen just like a straight line. Eh, wrong. It's a curved line, kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I would actually really dig it if it were like this dueling of the minds, strangers on a train thing where Lex is going to try and take care of Batman because he's just one mortal man and Lex destroys 15 mortal men before breakfast every day.
And Riddler is just looking at Superman's like, ha! I will bring a god to his knees.
Yeah, exactly. Forget the world's greatest detective. I'm gonna kill a god. You know, like that would actually be really good. But then you've got, you know, like, okay, so you have Adrian Brody as the Riddler. Who the fuck do you get as Lex? Still, my vote is for John Shea, personally. Because John Shea is the best fucking Lex Luthor there's ever been, in my opinion.
I'm still punching for John Clancy Brown as if he shaved his head.
Although, since I spent all this week actually watching Breaking Bad, I'll say it. I'll fucking say it. Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor.
Could work.
Why the hell not?
I mean, why not? Like, he looks good bald. We all know that.
He can rock the streamline look. He's got a duplicity of talent that's like he can be vulnerable and yet he can be despisable all at the same time. So who's to say that he can't play this not subtle super genius who is just constantly, you know, like everything is a piece on the chessboard. You know, who's to say that he can't do that? Because he's been doing that as Walter White. And that shit is really, like, he gets really fucking intense when he does that. And on top of that, he has a gravity of voice, which is only paralleled by Nolan North. because if you ever notice Cranston scream, he sounds exactly like Nolan North. Not that that really matters or anything. I'm just sort of tired of the fact that, out of nowhere, Nolan North has become a meme.
To the point where if you choose your voice on Saints Row 4, there is voice 1, voice 2, voice 3, or Nolan North.
And while that tickles me to no end, I still kind of think, you know, there are a lot of hardworking fucking people in the industry. What makes Nolan so goddamn special?
Now there's a challenger approaches and God, what's his name? Yeah, he's playing the Joker in Arkham Origins.
It's not Liam O'Brien, even though Liam O'Brien's in it. Troy Baker.
Troy Baker. Troy Baker's quickly becoming like Nolan North's doppelganger, as it were.
No, he's just trying to build an empire and destroy Nolan. That's all there is to it.
So you're
like,
saying
I'm going to be mocap and voiceover and direction and producing. You know,
and I will destroy Nolan North.
Yeah, that's all Troy's about, man.
I wish that like somebody could get the two in a room together and then just have like a celebrity death match off.
that does make me wish the celebrity death match was still on the air. Yeah. Oh God, so many good episodes of that show, and there could be so many more good episodes of that show.
And then MTV2 ruined it.
Yeah, I know. They really did ruin it towards the end. But so if you got Bryan Cranston as fucking Lex Luthor and Adrian Brody as the Riddler, and you did this whole, you know, dueling of the minds angle, then, you know, fucking Affleck as Batman doesn't really matter, because then it becomes this really cool sort of ensemble where, you know, like all you're watching is just fucking game, like just this game of death that won't fucking stop because Supes is anti-Batman. Batman is anti-establishment. So he's anti-Superman, you know, like they're only working together out of necessity when they realize that they're both being played against each other by the Riddler and Lex Luthor. And it would just be the best fucking game of Crossfire ever.
Oh, man. And if I have to say, like, and that's when, like, I don't know, like, there has to be a betrayal moment between Lex Luthor and Riddler.
Well, yeah, because fucking Edward's gonna be like, I can get Batman, I can get Superman, and Lex all in one fall swoop. He's just, because that's how he rolls, but that's also how Lex rolls. So the question is, who would be slated as smarter in this situation? Like, would it be that, no, I know exactly how it would go. It would go that the Riddler would think that he got over on Batman, Superman, and Lex, and then Riddler loses, and it turned out that Lex had the whole thing figured out.
He just used Riddler to get Superman.
Yep.
Oh, so many sequel opportunities here.
That, like, that's like, if that's the story that you go with, if that's the angle that you pull, man, I mean, it's not gonna be the angle that they pull. They're gonna pull something else out of their ass. But I mean, if that were us writing the fucking movie, and I'm sure a lot of people could agree with that sort of angle, that's how we play it. I mean, it telegraphs itself, obviously, because you know how Lex rolls. He, you know, he doesn't go into anything half-assed until he's, like, you know, got cancer and in the suit and shit. But God bless America. God bless me. But still, you know, like, that's how I'd write it. I think that would make for a really compelling fucking movie.
And because I think that one insular moment why Lex would get the upper hand on Nygma was the fact that Nygma's too full of himself.
Mm-hmm. And that's always the blind spot is you know, the fact that Nygma is powered entirely by pride.
And Luthor has sees the bigger picture.
Yeah. Like he's, you know, like the way that, and see, the thing is that when you look at the way that IQs are denominated in terms of like, you hit this plateau and you look like this, you hit this plateau and you are this. There's a point in IQ points where it actually says by definition, appears to be a genius to other people. Now you think about that, and that's where Nygma is. I mean, he's legit a genius, but he's only come so close against Batman, but never really hits the big fucking win, the lasting win. So for the Riddler, it's that he appears to be a genius to other people, except for Lex, because Lex is legitimately a genius.
12th level intellect.
Yeah, the 12th level intellect. So he's got everything figured out in a way that's just melts the brain, you know? So
you could say that Lex has his own issues with his own ego.
He does, but I can't even remember what DC movie it was where pretty much that like Lex bangs himself out to be a human supremacist, that he feels that superiority should come from hard work and determination, and you know the idea that you know humans can be whatever it is that they want to be if they genuinely work hard and do what it is that's necessary in order to attain their goals, whatever they happen to be, and that he hates Superman because he was just born better, which he feels undermines the human condition. And I and he makes this fucking speech, and I just went, he's right. You know, like that's. What better motivation to have than to flat out say is that this man, this thing, this alien undermines the human condition. Why should human beings aspire to anything when this freak is flying around, saving everyone, making life safer, when it's the danger of life that made humans survive in the first place? What will human beings accomplish if there is a Superman?
And that's when like Riddler was to say, I would say that Superman has every right to be on this planet as anyone else here. Just to provoke Lex.
Yep. And I really dig that as a motivation though. You know, like if like forget, you know, land. Fuck that. Fuck the Midwest huckster. If you wanted to paint Lex as this human supremacist that just hates Superman because he makes humanity lazy, that's awesome. you know, that is genuinely a great motivation for him to hate the one person that everybody loves.
Like, I wouldn't say, I think he views Superman as making humanity dependent more than lazy.
You could argue that they're one and the same thing.
Well, dependent infers more.
That argument was made in I'm a Marvel and I'm a DC at one point, where the Lex action figure starts talking about why Spider-Man ruined comics.
Don't worry, you don't need to aspire to anyone. You just have to relate to them.
Yeah, and that was a perfectly good argument too. That Spider-Man ruined comics, because in a way, he did. You know, like, superheroes used to be, you know, these pillars, these gods, and, you know, like, the one standing tallest of all was Superman. He only had, like, one or two inherent flaws that he had, not that he couldn't possibly help, but, you know, every god has something that kills them, so that's just what kind of makes them, it makes it you able to read about them and care about them somewhat. But the idea of this hero that is just like you, that has greatness thrust upon him, and that he, you know, that he shoulders it like fucking Atlas. That's all well and good, but Parker is a flawed, extremely flawed character. You know, when Linkara goes on that whole tirade about why Parker is a terrible human being, I went, yes, he is. No arguments. You know, like if it were really so terrible, the danger that being Spider-Man puts his family through, puts Aunt May in and puts Mary Jane in and led to the death of Gwen Stacy and all of that, then why didn't you fucking quit? Because you're selfish. Because you want to uphold the standard of, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, to honor the death of Uncle Ben. Like, yes, we all get that. But you are fucking gambling, sir, and you're gambling and you're losing, and you're constantly losing. So and Spider-Man in a way made it okay for heroes to lose, like legit lose, you know, when it's, you know, when it's end of the world time, you know, it's like, well, you win, but you're only winning by inches. Like, well, fucking Superman doesn't win by inches, he wins by fucking leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds over tall buildings.
So, and the only time that he's, like, got victory by inches is when, you know, we're talking about Darkseid and shit. Because the man's a warmonger. Like, he's a tactician in a way that Superman never could be. Like, that's different. You know, that's every once in a blue moon. That's completely different from what we're talking about in terms of, like, Spider-Man loses every fucking day. Like, he catches a Personatcher here, or, you know, like, some dude who's driving out of control there, and he stops a mugging every once in a while. But when it comes to, you know, the big fucking standoff, Spidey almost always loses to some degree. So, in a way, yes, Spider-Man did ruin comics. So, if you were to make Lex's motivation that he's this human supremacist, I get that. That's good. That'll play really well on screen, especially if you have an intense actor to kind of play it. The idea of, you know, like, Superman makes everyone dependent, and I don't like that. Why did I work so hard my entire life if this dude can just come in and be born better?
And then you have to factor in, like, if there is the ability for a being to get that powerful just by being born, then why wasn't I born? And then you get that whole egocentric idea of a genius.
Yeah, really, why not me? Why can I not have the power of power and the power of thought? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's kind of the whole dynamic, is that, you know, Lex and Supes are two titans that stand on two completely different pillars. You know, like, Lex stands on the pillar of knowledge and Soup stands on the pillar of strength and compassion. And, like, that's, like, that can make for some really compelling shit on screen. The only problem is that I just don't think that fucking Zack Snyder is the guy.
So, and I do not think that, oh God, what, Goyer is the writer for that.
Yeah. Like, that's just a big-ass gamble. But, again, we're not condemning anything because we don't know what's going on. All we know is that we're going to get a World's Finest movie. That's it. And that's what you should take away from this whole conversation, is that we don't know. And as time goes on, we will know. We'll know what the Batsuit looks like. We'll know what the Batmobile looks like. We'll know what the setup's going to be. We'll know who the two villains are going to be, because you know there's going to be two. And, yeah. But in the meantime, just fucking chill.
And I think on that note, I want to end this episode on a few comments. Especially after the 6-month-long video project has just been unleashed on the web, my top 20 best and worst songs to ever hit number one on the pop charts, on the Hot 100 charts, I should clarify. And I've been going through a lot of these comments because, you know, everyone has their own two cents when it comes to music. And by far, the only comments that I've ever read that kind of legit annoys me is like when someone says oh, you chose that Eurythmic song? I mean, why didn't you choose any other Eurythmic song? Because no other Eurythmic song hit number one on the charts, okay? Did you listen at all?
Somebody's upset.
I get annoyed when people outright ignore what I said just to be an idiot. But, there were more than a few comments that are talking about their own personal taste in music, whether they agree with me or not. And, you know, like 98% of them are very civil. And I was expecting worse from the worst feedback from my best of list, because let's face it, like everyone can have some kind of consensus about what is legit the worst kind of music, but no one can really agree on the best kind. Like, nobody really liked Sound of Silence and didn't like. Everyone who I've ever read about who talked about, like, the Sound of Silence going through my picks, they went to the Sound of Silence and, like, I never really liked this song. I never, like, I wasn't a big fan of Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. And that just seems to be, like, the one point on my list that everyone has some kind of contention with. But other than that, everyone has been quite civil about both lists, and I'm very surprised about that. So, one of the comments that I wanted to read was on the site, and from someone who just calls himself Alexa, and the comment reads, "Wish there could have been more female singers on here. It's too bad Landslide by Fleetwood Mac didn't make it to number one. Now, that song is beautiful," and I agree it is. "Also, did you know that Blender Magazine had the gall to name Sound of Silence as number 42 on a worst songs list a couple of years back? And that magazine has been canned. Coincidence? I think not, motherfucker."
I got nothing. You're flying solo on this one. Your knowledge of music and you just hammering away at this project this entire time, because I'd be like, what are you up to? You're like, oh, well, I'm working on the top 20. It's like, yeah, you have fun with that. I'm going to go get the real work done now.
Because, as I said before, this took about 6 months of research and listening and writing and then formulating the list. And by the end of August, I was just so tired of, like I said in the video, like, I'm so tired of Laffy Taffy. I just heard it so many fucking times. I just wish it would just cease to be. Like, somebody went back in time and stopped that song from happening. Yeah, like, Back to the Future, that shit. Mm-hmm. And, a last comment I want to get to was written by Anani, again on the main site. It says, "Ugh, 10:20 to 10:30 on the top 20 best number one songs. Had me ready to close the video. That's far worse than a screamer." And he was referring to the "I Will Always Love You" when I used that little clip. "Still wasn't expecting that choice for sure, though. I get the feeling you would despise someone who just screams like the girl from the Cranberries and the like, but was not expecting number 17, lol." Yeah, that was too. When I heard that Blondie's Call Me hit number one, and I was like, yeah, I know. I remember liking the song, and then I heard it again a few times, and it grew on me. It didn't grow on me enough for me to put it in the top 10, but it wormed its way into my heart a little bit. And I guess that's all the comments I really wanted to address. You have anything to add, Mark?
Nope, not a goddamn thing, because I got work to do.
Well, I guess on that note, we should end this well, surprisingly loquacious podcast. We didn't expect this to go on for as long as it did, but, you know, that's the power of Batman and Superman. So, on behalf of everyone here at Super Tool Shed,
you really need to learn how to close this show. No, we're not closing this show until you do it properly.
You know what? Show me, then. I always open it. Why don't you close it?
Fine. First off, we're just going to address this from everyone here. There's just two of us. There's just two of us. That's like making the joke, yes, we had a packed audience, all two of them. Oh, my God. All right, so then, yeah. I'll close the show this time, but you got to learn how to do it. Training wheels are off. We're 11 episodes in now. This shit's important from now on. All right, so that is it for this surprisingly long now episode of Super Tool Shed. We'll see you again in 2 to 3 weeks or whatever in the hell it is we feel like doing the show again. Keep in mind that we are going to be doing Sin the Movie. When is the date?
By August 28th.
It's going to be up by August 28th. Closer is done once again by Zero Reynolds, who you can follow on Twitter at Zerjester, XERJester. So, for Bennett the Sage, this is the engineer. You've been listening to Super Tool Shed. Good fight. Good night. No, seriously, catch you guys later.